God speaks in Psalm 9, verse 9, and declares, "The Lord is a stronghold in times of trouble." The Lord Jesus speaks to a grieving family in John 11, verse 25, and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Welcome to Kilrath's Reformed Presbyterian Church as we meet to worship God this afternoon and to give thanks to him for the life of Jean Kennedy. My name is Joel Lockridge. I'm the minister of Clochmills Reformed Presbyterian Church nearby, and I'm the interim moderator of this congregation, or to put it in sporting terms, I'm the caretaker minister during a season of vacancy for the congregation here. On behalf of Jean's family, I want to thank you for coming today and for all the expressions of sympathy and love that you have shown over the last few days. And on your behalf, I want to express sympathy to Jean's dear husband of nearly 60 years, Alan, to her daughter, Jacqueline, and her daughters, Samantha and Lucy, to Jean's three great-granddaughters, Amelia, Eva and Sophia. I want to express your sympathy to Jean's son, Michael, and son and daughter-in-law, Audrey, her grandchildren, Ben and Claire, Grace, Daniel and Lois, and to their other halves, to her daughter, Lorna, and son-in-law Basil, and to Jean's grandchildren, Megan, Rebecca, Jessica, Jamie, Joel, and Anna, to her daughter Doreen and son-in-law Philip, and to her son David and daughter-in-law Lisa, and her grandsons Jordan and Robbie. I want to express sympathy on all of our behalfs to her brother John and her sister-in-law Marty, to her brother Raymond and her sister-in-law Rosemary, and to many others in a wide family circle, and to the church family here in Kilrath who've lost a beloved sister in Christ. I want to assure all of you that we have been and we will continue to commit you to the care of the Heavenly Father today and in the days and weeks ahead. I'm very pleased to be joined here today by the Reverend David Fallows, who was Jean's minister here for 18 years until last June, and he's now minister in Ballylagan on the other side of the Bann. Before we begin our worship service, the family have asked David to speak of God's work in Jean's life, and then after that he will lead the first part of our worship service.
Thank you, Joel. I had the privilege and honour of being Jean's minister from 2005 to 2023, from when she was around the age of 60. She dies at the age of 79, and that was the age that my own mother died at, 79. Jean was born on the 13th of November, 1944. I was also born on the 13th, so we had that in common. Her parents were William and Jean Dewey, and she survived by her brothers John and Raymond. Jean went to primary school at Landhead Primary School, and then when she was ready for working life, she worked for about 30 years in a place that I'd never heard of, Miss Luke's on Church Street in Ballymoney. Probably the kind of shop I would never have been in if I had known it existed. She worked in retail fashion, and then she followed that up working for about 10 years in Smith's in Portrush. Jean lived in Fortview in Donaghy for 55 years until she moved to Ashgrove Crescent in Ballymoney, right at the start of, or just before the first COVID lockdown. That was in March 2020. But in the Donaghy area, Jean was known to everyone. And Her house was well known in the locality, and she was quite happy to have many local children gathering at her house and in her yard. And nobody worried that Jean would chase them away. She was a welcoming hostess, and she delighted in children. She had a heart for children. She organized parties for local children when there was decent weather, back in the time when we used to have decent weather. And she would take them down to the riverside. And she also invited many local children along to children's Bible club meetings in the local Orange Hall. And probably some of you here today were at those meetings and were maybe taught something from the Bible by Jean. And she was missed in her community whenever she left that community, and she enriched the community in which she lived. Something about her church life: she moved to Claretz Reformed Presbyterian Church after she married Alan. Previously, she belonged to St. James's Church in Ballymoney. And within this church, at various times, she helped with children's work. She served as a supply teacher for the Sabbath school. She helped out in the holiday Bible clubs and in the work of the youth work known as the CY. Within the women's group, the WMA, she was the treasurer of that for a number of years. And for more than 30 years, Jean, alongside Alan, served as caretakers here in Claretz, and they also did a stint in Clough Mills RP Church, where Jewel is presently the minister. And Jean had her particular things that she was interested in. Alan had his areas, and Jean had her areas. When it came to the communion tablecloth, that was absolutely Jean's area, and Alan was to stay clear of that. The same was true in terms of folding the napkins for social events. That was a skill that Jean had. And she was also skilled at knowing exactly the right number of tea bags to put into a particular teapot so that the tea was the right strength. During her time here in Claretz, one person in particular made an impact upon Jean, and that was Mrs. Margaret Leakey. Her husband was the minister here, and Mrs. Leakey had a great beneficial effect upon Jean. She was a great encourager to Jean when she was a young mother. And Jean loved to worship God here. And she loved also to attend the midweek meetings, whether it was a Bible study prayer meeting or whether it was a missionary meeting. She loved to sing God's praises. And we have three singings in our service today, and that would have pleased Jean. Whenever she was able to be here at worship, which she was for many of the years when I was minister, she sat up near the front on this side here, and she would sit, and when I was preaching, Jean would be taking notes, and she wanted to remember what the sermon was about, and she would go over those notes then again later in the day. God's word really mattered to her. That was important to her. And as well as her involvement here in Claretz, she was also involved in the wider work of the Christian Church, in supporting work of Faith Mission, Christian Workers Union, and Child Evangelism Fellowship. And when Jean wasn't able to come here to be part of the worshiping congregation, she was very much missed here in this church. She was an encouraging presence, and she enriched the life of this church. She's missed in her community, she's missed in her church, and of course she is missed in her family. Jean met Alan, the love of her life, in a potato field at the Kennedy Home Farm. And perhaps it was that location where they met that influenced the fact that they also had a great love of fish and chips. And the meeting in the potato field was followed by many, many fish suppers, particularly for Morton's in Ballycastle. Alan and Jean were married on the 29th of July, 1964. I have a brother who got married on the 29th of July as well. And God blessed them with five children: Jacqueline, Michael, Lorna, Doreen, and David. And Jean delighted in being a wife, and delighted in being a mother. And she took a particular delight in having her girls turned out. I think she knew the boys were a lost cause, except for BB uniforms. They were important. Jean ensured that her children were well taught in the things of God, whether that was in the home or whether it was ensuring that they were here for the Sabbath school in this church, or taking them along to the Craigatempin afternoon Sabbath school. She also made sure they were able to get along to BB and GB summer camps because she believed those would be good for her children. Jean was a great organizer of family gatherings. Jean was the glue that held the family together. And she was an organizer of family gatherings and of days out. And later in life, she enjoyed getting away on holidays with Alan. And they even had their very own chauffeur who took them everywhere, and that was Donald Pinkerton. Jean was devoted to her family. She cared for her mother in her old age, and she cared for her children and her grandchildren. And late in life, she delighted in the fact that she had great grandchildren also. Now, her dementia of recent years greatly curtailed what Jean was able to do, and as a family, You've already been missing the old Jean, and she hasn't been what she used to be. But now, of course, you will miss her even more. But she truly enriched your family life, and God was good to you in the wife that He granted, in the mother that He granted, in the grandmother that He granted. Final thing I want to say is to bear witness to God's grace in Jean's life. Jean Kennedy was what she was by the grace of God. If you had asked Jean, had she always been a Christian, she would tell you, no, she wasn't. She would have told you that there was a time in her life when she believed all the right things in her head. Her head was right, but she didn't have it in her heart. But God changed that. And in His gracious working, it came at a time when she had a cousin who died in her 20s, and that cousin had jaundice. And Jean herself was pregnant, and she wasn't well, and Jean needed to have her gallbladder removed. But she couldn't have her gallbladder removed because of her pregnancy, and she had to wait for 3 months, during which she herself developed jaundice. And you can understand the concern that would have been to her at that time. But she did get that surgery, and she told me what the surgeon had said to her. The surgeon had told her, "We can do the outward, but God does the inward." And Jean recognized that was true, not just in terms of the physical healing that she needed after her surgery, but she also recognized that God needed to do a work in her heart. And she had a thirst and a desire for that. And she found what she needed, partly at least through the instrumentation of some faith mission pilgrims, who had a tent mission in the area at that time, and called at the door, and Jean spoke with the ladies, and through those conversations, she experienced for the first time in her life peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace that she found at that stage in her life, it never left her, and it shone through her for the rest of her days. Her favorite Bible verses were Romans 5, verse 1, which says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And also Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And Jean was made alive by the Lord Jesus Christ. She was granted spiritual life, and that spiritual life was always obvious in Jean. Everybody knew that Jean was a believer. There was no hidden faith with her. And out of the overflow of her heart, her mouth spoke. 10 years ago, she developed a benign tumor on her pituitary gland. A few years ago, I had an issue with my pituitary gland, and Jean was very sympathetic, and she was always looking out for things that she hoped weren't going to appear in me that had appeared in her. But when she was going to the theatre at the Royal Victoria Hospital in May of 2014, she went there singing. I don't think many patients go into the theatre singing, but Jean did. She went into the theatre singing from Psalm 84. How lovely. She was singing, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me." And that was Jean. She lost a lot in recent years through her dementia, but she never lost her sense of who she was in Christ. She spoke to me about some words in Hebrews chapter 10, words that were important to her because of the disease that she had. And there was a direction that she really didn't want to go in life. Hebrews 10:35 says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." And Jean didn't cast away her confidence. And now she is experiencing her great reward. Amen. Well, with those reflections on Jean's life, we come now to the public worship of God. And I want to begin worship with a verse that Jean often used in her prayers. It's Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And let us seek to wait on the Lord and draw near to him now. We're going to sing to his praise, singing from Psalm 116. This is one of the Psalms that Jean particularly loved because it speaks clearly about God's work of salvation. And the first verse speaks about how the writer loved the Lord, and Jean loved the Lord, and the reason why she loved the Lord is in the last line that we sing, because he saved her when she was brought low. She knew she didn't save herself. She knew it was the Lord that saved her, and so she delighted in singing about him and about his salvation. We'll stand to sing this first psalm in the order of service, Psalm 116, stanzas 1 to 4. And then please remain standing for prayer. And then after that, you may be seated, and Joel will lead in the rest of the worship service. Let us sing praise to God. Now we speak to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for your saving grace in the life of Jean. And we praise you for how that saving grace of yours overflowed in her life to her community, to her church, and to her family. We thank you for every recollection of her, and we praise you for your good work. We thank you also for your sustaining grace in her life. We praise you for how, in the face of illness, that you enabled her to keep going. And although there were many things that she lost sight of, that she never lost sight of her Savior. And we thank you for the love that she had for you and for your word. And we pray now that you will help us as we listen to your word shown to us from the scriptures. We pray that you will bless that word of yours that comes to us now in this service of worship, and that you would be pleased to make use of your words in our lives as you made use of your word in Jean's life. We pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, David. We read from God's word now, Isaiah chapter 40. This chapter is a message from God to a people who are troubled and sore. He speaks and tells them of his greatness and his care for them. It's this great God who cares for his people, for you. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And a voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong right hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will carry the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image The goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings judges, princes to nothing, and makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number? He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And now we read from the New Testament, from Mark chapter 16, the first verse. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is God's word. We sing again, Psalm 121. The words are printed in your order of service. As David mentioned, we have three singings for the simple reason that Jean loved singing, and she loved worship. She loved these three psalms, songs in particular. Those of us who live in this area, we live in the shadow of the hills, Knocklead, Ora, the Antrim Plateau. Hills can be daunting. Even small hills remind us of our smallness, because they tire us as we walk them or climb them. Hills can be scary. In many parts of the world, the mountainous regions there, that's bandit country. That's where the wild animals are. I to the hills lift my eyes, to these daunting, scary places. Where will come my aid? My aid comes only from the Lord, who heaven and earth has made. The hills are God's hills. We're told by Isaiah that the Lord takes the mountains and weighs them like the flour that's been left on the scales. after you've made something. That's all the vast mountains are before him. This mighty God, Jesus Christ, he keeps his people. The Lord Jesus kept Jean through life. He kept Jean through death. He keeps Jean for all eternity now. And she wants you to know that he keeps those who trust in him. So let's stand to sing Psalm 121. Please stay standing as we bring the family to the Lord in prayer now and ask him to keep them. Father in heaven, we pray now that you would be to this family all that we have been singing of, and we entrust them to your care. We ask that you would keep Alan and Jacqueline, Michael, Lorna, Doreen and David and their families, the sons and daughters you blessed them with through marriage, Basil, Audrey, Philip, and Lisa. We pray that you would keep the grandchildren, Samantha and Lucy, Ben, Claire, Grace, Daniel, and Lois. Megan, Rebecca, Jessica, Jamie, Joel, and Anna, Jordan, and Robbie. We pray that you would keep the great granddaughters, Amelia, Eva, Sophia, and Lily, and the little one on the way. We entrust to you for keeping Jean's brothers, John and Raymond, their wives, Marty and Rosemary. We entrust to you for keeping all the wider family circle, all the sons and daughters-in-law of the grandchildren, all the wider family, all the church family. We ask that you would keep them in the daunting days ahead, in the loneliness, in the adjustment, in the times when they will miss Jean and her presence. Keep them in the dangerous days ahead as Satan seeks to capitalize on their heartache and pain in the face of death. Keep them in the dangerous days. Keep them, Lord, in the lonely days and long nights. Keep them in those times when all human help fails or has to stop and they have nobody and nothing but you alone. Be their keeper, their guard, the one who watches over them day and night. You, the one who measures the Atlantic in the palm of his hand, the one who weighs the Himalayas, the one who counts the United Nations like a drop in a bucket, you who has vast, unimaginable power. Give power to the weak. Increase the strength of those who have no might. Renew their strength that they may mount up with wings like eagles, that they may run and not be weary, that they may walk and not faint. And so may you be glorified. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon we want to hear God speak from those verses we read, Isaiah 40, verse 30 to 31. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Anyone who sat in a prayer meeting with Gene understands why we're turning to these words today at the service of Thanksgiving. Now, both her family and her former minister said to me independently of each other that almost, or it seemed like almost, every prayer of Jean's contained these words at some point. They were obviously very dear words to Jean, to Mum, to Granny. So Isaiah 40 are dear words to many people. It's a chapter of good news to troubled people. It's a message of an unimaginably powerful God whose power is directed towards his people. It's a message that which troubles them will be removed and that their God will come to them in power, but a tender power. The image of God that we're given in Isaiah chapter 40 is almost like, picture one of the enormous gladiators from Saturday night TV. These enormous muscular specimens whose biceps are the size of a bicycle wheel and their torsos as broad as a barn door. They have hands the size of Michael Kennedy. Pure power and might. We watch them over Saturday tea absolutely pummeling the poor contestants with a massive pugil stick. Power and might. And picture one of those huge gladiators tenderly, kindly carrying a newborn lamb, feeding it and caring for it. And all that strength and power is directed to this little lamb. Verse 10. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Life is not easy for God's people in this world. Life is not easy for anyone in this world. All have their troubles, but God's people have troubles that other people don't have. Become a Christian and you can be sure that you will have more troubles than you had before you were a Christian. People will look at you and think you're mad. People look at you and hate you. The believer has an enemy, Satan, who's described as a prowling lion, as a wolf out to destroy the flock of sheep. The believer feels as well the weight of their own failure, the weight of their own sins. The believer looks at their life and its twists and turns and puzzle. How could a loving father do this? How could an all-powerful God allow this? Life is not easy for God's people. And Jean knew her share of these troubles. As David mentioned, at a point in her life, she came to realize that she knew lots about the Bible and about God, but that she didn't know her own heart. And she came to know her own heart, that her heart was rebellious against God and selfish, worthy of condemnation and punishment. She had her share of these troubles. She had all the trials of raising five children and the joys, but trials in raising five children. She had several significant health problems over the years, and in recent times her mind was confused. Jean knew the wearisome troubles of life in this world. And for God's people, sometimes it's even like God himself has forgotten them. They say things Like I said in verse 27, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over, ignored by my God. And you, Gene's family, may have cause to say this in days ahead. These last few days have probably been the easier part. There's been a joy in being together and then remembering. But all that stops. And there comes a time when, as good and kind and loving as people are and have been and will be, it can only go so far. And the darkness and the loneliness and the absence of Jean, of your mum, of Granny, has to be confronted. Death, facing death, will make you feel like those that speak in verse 27, my way is hidden from the Lord. My just claim is passed over by my God. I'm ignored by him. And so I want you to listen to God's response to weary, hurting, sore people. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. The Almighty God gives strength to weak people. The all-powerful God gives power to weak people. This God, this incredibly glorious and powerful Creator God, gives you, his believing people, power and strength, his strength. And these verses that Jean loved, verse 30 and 31, tease this out beautifully. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. These are the blessings that God gives. These are the blessings that Jean enjoyed. These are the blessings that she wanted for others and prayed for others. Three images are given in that verse. There's the image of the runner, the image of the walker or the hiker, and the picture of the eagle. I coach football to 10-year-old boys, and it amazes me, as a 30-something-year-old male, their capacity to just run and run and run. Nothing is done at walking pace. They have two modes, stop and fifth gear, flat out, full out. I'm sure Jean, as a weary mother of five children, often looked at all those children, all of Donachie, playing in her yard and wondered, I wish I could have some of their energy. And yet even kids get tired sometimes. During the Easter holidays, I and my wife Abigail and our three children, the youngest of whom is just short of four, the oldest is about to turn 10. We did a lovely walk in Glen Dunn. You maybe know it, Ronan's Way, it's called. And part of the walk, the hike, are up the steep face of the glen, up the hillside. And even my kids, with their boundless energy, got to the point, well, can we stop yet? Can we take a break? Even youths grow weary eventually. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now think of the hill walker here, feeling the burn in their legs. And you set yourself the next target, right? The next rise, and then I'll take a break then. And you get there, and you sit down, and you open your bottle, and you take a drink, and you eat a cereal bar. And after a while, you feel renewed, and you're ready for the next rise and the next section of the hike. You're ready to go again. Your strength is renewed. Well, that's what the power of God does to weary people, to his weary, hurting, sore people. He renews their strength. Or think of the runner. There's at least one of Jean's grandchildren runs marathons. And so much of a marathon, I'm told, is a mental battle. The mental battle to just keep going. Your whole body is screaming at you to stop. All you can think about is the end and the finish and the chance to stop putting one foot in front of the other. But you keep driving on. But eventually you have to stop. Even that guy who just today has finished running the full length of Africa, he gets worn out. He had to take rest. He had to stop. He's stopping now. But this verse that Jean loves so much tells us that God's people spiritually can run and run and run. They just keep going. Think of the runner. Think of the walker, the hiker. Or think of the eagle. Some of my family holiday in North Donegal, as some of Jean's family do. One of my great desires on our family holidays in Donegal is that we will eventually see the eagles at Glenveagh National Park. Eagles, beautiful, majestic birds. The king of the birds. Mighty, majestic. You think of the sheer power in those wings to lift the bulk of the body, of their body off the ground. And then you see them just effortlessly soaring, just cruising on the thermals. It's easy for them. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. God's people, when they wait on him, spiritually, effortlessly, soar. Now think of those three pictures. The refreshed hiker, the never-ending runner, the cruising eagle. Does that seem like the Jean, the mum, the granny that you remember? Think of her last years in the nursing home. Surely there, if ever anywhere, there was a weary person. Surely there was someone whose strength and mind was failing. Surely she was in many ways weakness embodied. So how can this verse be true? Well, to understand Jean, you need to look further. You need to look past the externals. You need to see who she was on the inside. And you see that this verse is true. Because wasn't there in Jean an inward spark that all the decline in so many different areas didn't and couldn't put out? As David said to me on the phone yesterday morning, Jean was confused about many things, but she was not confused about her faith and her Saviour. On one visit that I had with her, being relatively new to the role, I didn't expect her to remember me, to know much about me. I went in with low expectations. And on this particular visit, I wasn't particularly sure she really understood much that I was saying, knew who I was, until I opened God's word and prayed with her. And then what did she do? Without prompt, she prayed. And it wasn't just a mere habitual prayer. He's prayed, so I'll say this. It was fresh. It was full of spiritual life. She understood. And you could see the spark of spiritual life in her prayers. And you've all, the family, you've all consistently said the same thing. There was a spiritual power, spiritual energy, spiritual life that all the physical and mental weakness did not extinguish. Because inwardly, by God's grace, Jean was mounting up like an eagle. And if you saw that, if you were privileged to see that in her, I want you to know that that was God's doing. That was God's doing. But it's even better than that. It's not just that there's something internal beyond the failing exterior. These promises are now true for Jean, and in Jean's experience, unimaginably more than they were in this life, on a scale that we just cannot grasp. The moment that Jean passed from life to death, she passed from death to life. She actually passed from the world of the dying into the world of the living. And if we could know her now as she is in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, the sharpness of her mind and knowing Christ, that the highest spiritual experience she had on this earth is as nothing to what she is experiencing now. You think she was full of love and zeal for serving the Lord Jesus here in this community and round about? It's nothing compared to the zeal and love that she has for him now. All the things that we saw in her in this life that were good by God's grace, they're now supercharged. The Jean that we knew was like a black and white Jean, and now she lives spiritually in glorious color. This is why we read from Mark 16, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Jesus has risen. God sends a messenger from heaven to tell his followers. And did you notice the description of this person, this messenger from heaven? They saw a young man clothed in long white robes. What are the inhabitants of heaven like? They're young. Not in terms of time and age, but in appearance. They come from a realm where there is no old age, there's no weakness, there's no weariness, there's no failing memory, there's no death. There is only life, full life, abundant life, never-ending life. And this promise that Jean loved is now more real to her than ever before. Her strength spiritually is renewed. She soars on the glory of God. She serves her God unwearingly. This is the power of God for his people. And so as we finish today, I want to urge you not to make the mistake that many people who visit churches and funerals make. I've spoken of the blessings that God gives. But these blessings are not for everybody without reservation. They're offered to everyone, but they're offered to everyone who will come. Jesus gives a wide open invitation. He says, come and I'll bless you, but you must come. Verse 31, who is it that renews their strength and mounts up and runs and doesn't weary? Those who wait on the Lord. Not those who go to church, not those who obey the commandments, not those who are kind and generous, as Jean was, but those who wait upon the Lord. To wait upon the Lord is to trust him. To wait upon the Lord is to trust him as your only hope in the face of your sin and God's right, righteous, holy, just anger at your sin and hatred of your sin. To wait on the Lord is to trust that he's your only hope in the face of all that. To wait upon the Lord is to live for him, to wait upon his word and to do his word joyfully and gladly. You see, don't make the mistake that so many people who come to churches and funerals make. And they hear the blessings that Christ offers, but they don't come. They don't trust. They don't wait. You can't have him as your savior, as the one who brings hope in trouble, the one who turns darkness to light. You can't have him as your savior without having him as your Lord, without leaving everything on him, trusting only in him. And so at the close this morning, I want to speak especially to any of you who knew Jean personally, and especially to her grandchildren. You knew your granny. But if you don't know her Savior, you don't really know your granny. You don't know what made her tick. You don't know who she loved more than anybody else. You don't know or understand why she did the things she did or was the person that she was. You know that she loved you, but she loved her Savior more even than she loved you. She saw in him the one who was worth waiting upon. She saw in him the one who was worth trusting everything on. The one worth living for, the one worth serving. And I am certain from what I knew of her and from what her children have told me of her, that the one thing she would have wanted for you, her grandchildren, for all here today, more than anything else, would be that you would wait upon the Lord, that you would trust him, and so then that you would renew your strength, have your strength renewed, soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint in this life and in eternity. Amen. Let's sing together from Psalm 84, the words on the back of the page. David mentioned that in May 2014, Jean required surgery that proved more significant than first thought. And she told David, she told her family afterwards that she entered the theatre singing these words: "How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me, the tabernacles of thy grace. Oh, how I long, yes, faint to see Jehovah's courts, his dwelling place. My heart and flesh with joy draw near, as to the living God I cry." She was ready to enter the Lord's house. She was looking forward to it. She was longing for it because she knew that there was real life, full life, eternal life. And this is the blessing of her condition now. "Blessed are those who in your house abide. To you they ever render praise." And the last verse sums up all that we've been saying as we thought about that promise that was so dear to her. Advancing from strength to strength, from strength to more strength. They go where other pilgrims have gone, till each comes before the face of God. That's what Jean is experiencing now. Psalm 84, let's stand and sing together. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in your grace and mercy, the experience of the believer is a journey from strength to more strength, to eternal strength, in your strength and by your strength. We thank you that that was Jean's experience, that even as outwardly that the body and the mind crumbled, that inwardly she was being renewed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we were able to the end to see that spark within her, that was not extinguished nor hidden. Thank you, Lord. And we pray that her life and her love of you and her love of this promise, may it challenge us today to wait upon you, to trust in you, to put all upon you, to trust you as our Saviour, to live for you as our Lord, to walk in repentance and in faith. Lord, we pray that there be none here today to whom all this is strange and unusual and unknown. But may they come to Christ that they might have life and life abundantly. We pray that Jean's family would know the truth of these promises in the days ahead, that even as they go through the wearying process of grieving, may they find themselves inwardly soaring spiritually and finding energy to run spiritually and to not grow tired and to not faint. And so we commit them to you and to your tender care. And we ask for these things through the Lord Jesus and for his glory. Now receive God's blessing, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.